Good morning. Would you stand with us this morning? Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that we were able to come into your house this morning and worship you, God. Father, we just thank you for all that you do for us each and every moment of our lives, God. Father, we are here and we are ready to worship the one true King. We thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray that we're able just to lay everything that we came in with at your feet this morning, that we're able just to worship you even from the first note that we hear. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy and your peace and your hope and your love, Lord. We thank you that you will never leave us. We thank you that we can call upon you at any moment of time in our lives and you will be right there with us, God. We just thank you for all that you have done for us and all that you're going to do. Father, I'm just in awe for what you've done with your people, even just here at this little Lifetree Church, God. I thank you for the people that you have brought in this place that are believing for miracles and for revival, God. Father, we are ready. We say yes to you this morning, Jesus. We lift our hands and we say, God, whatever you have for us, we say yes to you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Make straight a highway, path for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sinner, wake up the saint. Let every nation shout of your fame. Jesus is coming soon.
The Spirit was moving over the water. Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Calm down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart. Feel the room. I'm hearing, I know you will fill me. Calm down, Spirit, when you move, you Lay
It's fascinating to me that just really hours before our Savior Jesus would give his life on that cross, that he gathered with his closest friends and confidants, the disciples, in that upper room. And he commemorated, and I would say, in the right sense, celebrated the Passover. Ultimately revealing to them, and by extension to us, that he is the Passover. He is the Passover lamb. He is the lamb that was slain, and yet is alive and lives forevermore. Amen? So as we come to the Lord's table in just a few moments, what I've asked the elders to do, they're going to come and they're going to prepare to serve. And they will come and serve you at your seats when all have received the elements. I will read the scripture and then we'll eat and drink together. So, elders, would you please grab the elements, and when you come on front and center, we'll pray, and then we'll serve you.
Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us, for the sacrifices you've made.
Thank you, Jesus.
For the things you've given to us to bless us.
Thank you.
We just ask you would just bless this time together today, Lord.
Amen.
In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. And again, after you've received the elements, please hold them until we have all been served, and then we'll eat and drink together. This is a meal in the spiritual sense for you. This is for the body of Christ to be unified. As a professing believer, these elements are for you, the wine and the cup, or the juice and the cup, the bread. Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul writes these words: "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." May we eat the bread together. Thank you. writes in the same way, Jesus took the cup also after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's drink together. Sing this next song. As you're aware, we've been in a series on revival, focusing on revival, believing that, knowing that God is doing some amazing things in the church across the nation and around the world, even today, in some amazing levels and ways that regions would never have expected. It's the miraculous work of God. Back to Joel chapter 2 when he wrote those prophetic words in the last days that the Lord would pour out his spirit, and the understanding is there he would continue to pour out and to pour out and to pour out a fresh anointing and a fresh anointing of power of the Holy Spirit upon his church. He says your sons and daughters are going to begin to prophesy, just like Ezekiel when the Lord commanded him to prophesy over what was dead, that it would come to life. And I believe that's what it takes as us as believers, to begin to prophesy over what appears to be dead in the spirit and to bring them back to life through the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So our prayer as we sing it in just a moment is a fresh outpouring upon us, upon the church, in this city, in this state, around the nation and around the world, that a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit will be poured out on his church today. I ask you to please stand as we sing it. Fresh out.
So when I was a kid, I loved getting new sneakers. It was the best. I still like getting new sneakers. It's fresh and clean and new. There's no marks on it. It's pure. I love getting new things. When you get something new, it's never been used. You take it out of the box and it's just so lovely. Sometimes you don't even want to use it because you just want to preserve it. That's the picture I had in my mind when we were singing this song, Fresh Outpouring. And Jesus says, mercies are new every morning. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. It's in Lamentations 3:22 and 23. So I just pray this morning that we're able to enter into this song and feel that fresh outpouring that God wants to bless us with each and every morning of our lives. That we can wake up and say, good morning, Jesus, and feel that newness of the morning. Amen.
Show.
temporary fades. Let glory invade this earth. Your power on display.
Fire stirring.
unleash a fresh outpouring. We need a fresh outpouring. Unleash a fresh outpouring. Jesus, that's our prayer this morning, God, that we wake up refreshed every morning, smelling those mercies, God. Thank you, Jesus, that you're always there for us. You will never leave us, God.
To you, God, with the gratitude from within our hearts, and we give you praise. Over every situation in our life, we give you praise. We give you thanks. Sometimes that's a hard thing to do. That you would take every trial in our life, every difficulty, every unknown, every uncertainty, and God, that you would teach us to praise you in the midst, to proclaim your word over our situation. Your word says that all things work together for good. Right, church? Amen?
Amen.
What an opportunity. Opportunity when we can't do something on our own, to go to God in prayer, to go to God and declare his word back to him. Do you know there's power in that, church? There's power in the declaration of his word over your situation. You know, I'm convinced that some depend on your voice. The world depends on your voice being spoken over situations, because God has called you to be his voice on the earth. And when you declare his word, you know, there's some situations that nobody else is going to have an intimate knowledge of except for you. That's why God puts us all in positions and places where we can see the impossibilities and be a solutionary to the situation. That we can bring the solutions through the power and the declaration of prayer. Declaration of the word, I mean. That's why in this particular chapter in Ezekiel 37, that God commands Ezekiel to prophesy to the breath. What, God can't move on his own? Can, but being obedient to God, he was told to prophesy to the breath. So God works through man. We co-labor with God, right? So when we prophesy over the situation, we're co-laboring with the Spirit of God. How many of you know the enemy wants to shut your mouth? He wants to get you so pressed down and so out of breath that you can't even say amen. You can't even say thank you, God. You can't even believe anymore. You can't even speak. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Because if you're breathing, you have breath. Come on. If you're breathing, you have breath. And it's your choice what you choose that comes out of your mouth. Can I tell you? There's power in the breath. There's power in the breath. There's power in the prophesying of the word of God. There's power in saying, no way, devil. I'm not going to agree with you. You're not going to have my family. You're not going to have my husband. You're not going to have my wife. You're not going to have my children. As as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And begin to declare these things over your life, over your family, over your church, over your region. You know, God asked us to do it. We're commanded to heal the sick. So I prophesy over every physical body. Be healed in Jesus' name. Every physical body. Can you just raise your hand? If you want that, raise your hand. Let God see that you have an ounce or a stitch of faith. And I prophesy to your body, be healed in Jesus' name. Now raise the other hand if you have a family member that needs the breath of God to breathe into their life. And God, as you see the other hand being raised in the name of Jesus for our family members, I prophesy to the breath into every family member. God, to breathe on this slain, breathe on the unsaved. Breathe on their hearts and souls, God, that they would come alive in the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. Come on, church. We need to prophesy over our families. Just begin to name your family members right now. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus. We prophesy to these family members as they're being spoken by the mouths of your people, and we declare healing in their bodies. We declare salvation in their souls. We declare deliverance of wrong thinking, of lies that have been sown into their hearts. We call them into the kingdom of God. We declare the harvest of God over our region, over the city of Jersey Shore, over Williamsport, over Selinsgrove, over Harrisburg, over Philadelphia, over every city in the United States. We declare a revival in the name of Jesus. Come on, church. Is this too big? Is this too big for God? Is this too big to stir up some faith within us to begin to speak the impossible? Last time I checked, my God is a God of impossible. He makes impossible things possible. Hallelujah. God, we praise you and give you thanks this morning for your goodness, your mercy, and your power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Spirit of God, come in this place in a greater way. God, raise the faith in this house, Holy Spirit. God, forgive us for not speaking. Forgive us for not standing up. You know, it says about leading the little children astray in the Word of God, and it says that it'd be better for you if you've done this. Basically, tie a rock around your head and throw yourself in the sea. Lord God, I pray the voices rise up for these young ones in our schools across our nation, God. God, I crush the head of the serpent of indoctrination in the name of Jesus. And God, I pray for voices to rise up of the Spirit of God in school boards across our nation, Lord, in Jesus' name. Because regardless of what the federal government says or does or passes, we have a mandate by the Spirit of God that His law is higher. His law is higher. Don't misunderstand when the Word of God says you got to follow. If the government is corrupt, you don't obey it. Yep, I said it. God, I pray for boldness. Right now, I prophesy boldness over this house. I prophesy boldness over school boards. I prophesy boldness over the House of Representatives and over the Senate, over Congress, in the name of Jesus. God, I call every wrongdoing and every manipulation under the blood of Jesus, and I pray, God, that you would expose every wrongdoing, God, every kind of manipulation for votes. In Jesus' name, I declare and decree it shall be exposed. It shall be proclaimed from the housetops. God, I declare and decree a spirit of repentance come across the White House in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, increase the power of your Spirit, Lord. We pray for Mike Johnson, God, in the name of Jesus, that he would continue to stand strong in the Word of God. Lord, empower him, protect him, God, and all the others, God, in our government, Lord, that are standing for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Can you just give praise to the Lord? Just give him thanks. Just put your hands together and just say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them it's a great day to be alive. you could prophesy it with some power. It's a great day to be alive. Come on. It's a great day to be alive, Cheryl. Amen. Nobody's telling you.
That's good. You don't have to read it again. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. I'm glad to see you. I happened to be standing out in the cafe when Bennett and Wyatt came in the doors, and he could not wait to get in the house of the Lord. I just so appreciate, you know, and Jesus said, unless you become like little children, you can no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let alone the house of God, right? And it's that faith, that's that belief that God is doing and is going to do and is doing something amazing in our lives, in this church, in churches throughout this region, in the world. We're believing for a revival. Amen. And Jesus said, suffer those, you know, be patient with the little children, for such is the kingdom of heaven. When I saw them running into the house of the Lord, it encourages me, and that's certainly no indication in a bad way on any of us. I'm so glad to see all of your faces. You've come into the house of the Lord, but you've come in not to be entertained. You've come in to worship Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. He is our focus. He is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Obedient to God the Father, to the point of death, death on the cross. But because he lives, we can live. Amen. Before we go to the scripture reading, I'll work through it. We've read it the last couple weeks, but I'm on the same passage in Ezekiel chapter 37. If you have your Bibles with you, you may need them. I hope you do. If you don't, I would encourage you to bring them, even if my translation is not always the same. Maybe it's the one you're reading. You will be able to follow me without a problem. There's a lot going on in this world, I've noticed. And as I prepared the message again this week, the Lord reminded me of that. And I say that in a good way, by the way. And in fact, in just moments, I'll get into further into the message. But I want to encourage all of you. I don't know where you're at. Some of you may be like me. You're just not a big fan of the cold weather. Some of you absolutely love it. You know, I bless you guys. You know, if you want to stand outside, we can put a speaker out there for you and just stay cool. But we want you in here. I mean that, of course, jokingly. But it's a difficult time of the year. January, February can be difficult, at least in our latitude. But I want to just remind you that God's plan is unfolding on the face of this earth. And even when we see some of the things that we're up against and we are concerned about the ones that we don't see that we're up against, I want to encourage you once again that the Lord is in control. His plan is unfolding, even if we don't always understand it. In fact, I take you to the book of Daniel chapter 12 when he got these revelations, and he really was trying to get an explanation. What's going on here? And the angel said to him, seal up the vision. It's not the time for that. That's for the end times. It's a fascinating passage and a fascinating chapter in Daniel's book. But that one passage in there comes back to me time after time when the angel said at the end of days, he said, knowledge will increase and people will be traveling to and fro. And it's been such a compelling verse for generations. And I wonder what they would have thought about that passage in 1600 or 1700 as compared to what we see in 2023. I think we could easily make the argument. I don't think there'd be any argument against us that people are traveling to and fro. I literally can go to the airport today and travel across the planet in a matter of hours if I have the money and the get myself a ticket. And the increase of knowledge is beyond my comprehension. There's so much vast knowledge. And really, at the push of a button or the tap of the screen, you can receive parts of information, data, from many people across this planet in a moment, at the speed of light, literally. I was talking with a brother in Christ this week about that particular passage, and his stance is the same, that that's exactly what this means, that these are the times that we're going to start seeing some of these things unfold. And I want to underscore that once again. This is a plan. It's always a battle to give good versus evil. And we've always, as Pastor Sherry pointed out, we've always been called to take a stand, never to surrender, but understanding that it's all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Amen? Amen. That the ultimate plan of God will unfold. Praise Jesus. Revival, arrival, God's 1-2-3 revival, if you happen not to be here on 12:31-23. We're now in the third portion of this particular message on Ezekiel in a larger series, Revival, Arrival. This is God's 1-2-3 revival. Dry bones live. Dry bones live. I had a special insight. God gave me, I believe, a special insight for many of you in this house today, maybe all of you. As I read that scripture every week of Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2, in the revival series, Habakkuk wrote those words, Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear. Take note of that just for a moment. And then he goes on, oh, Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years, meaning, God, you can do a revival anytime you want, anytime that you decide from the heavens it is time to pour out your spirit in its fullness upon the people, the believers of Jesus Christ, you can begin that work. In the midst of the years, make it known in your wrath, remember your mercy. Habakkuk knew what was coming. He knew the Babylonians were on the doorstep, and they would ultimately, because of the revelation of the Lord had given him, would ultimately destroy Judah, destroy the temple. The people would be taken prisoner. When he wrote, and I fear, Habakkuk had a good reason to fear. It was God's word. He knew what was coming. I say that because I want to just draw, we all live in the same nation. We live in America. I don't know. We live in different towns and different communities. We probably all have hailed today from our residences in at least two different counties and maybe three different counties. But we recognize that there are challenges that face us that in some cases are unprecedented. Some have happened before. We recognize there's struggles in the economy, and I don't want to spend a lot of time. This is not a message on the economy or economics. We have this concern. I preached on a message a year or two ago about an earthquake. God just really led me to that, that we recognize even those on the West Coast would say, the geologists would say that the West Coast is overdue for a major earthquake. We're thankful that that has not happened. I would never want to see anybody suffer, but we recognize that's on the possibility. And when it happens, all kinds of things could be taking place when it does likely happen at some point. We have concerns about the power grid. The power grid. There's many ways that our power grid in America is vulnerable to a number of things. It's vulnerable to a local coordinated terrorist attacks. It's vulnerable to an enemy sending some type of bomb into our atmosphere and attacking. Can you imagine if the power grid gone down? I'm not here to scare you. I'm telling you, these are things that Americans are thinking about. As much as Habakkuk says, I fear, because he knew that there was problems on the horizon. He wasn't denying it, but he's asking for God to be revival at the same time. In the midst of all those troubles, give revival. I don't know if I've talked about, the sun has been very active lately. You recognize that. I remember, was it Larry Burkett or somebody, I forget who wrote the book Solar Flare a number of years ago, but that a solar flare. It was an event in the 1800s that had taken place that basically knocked out the telegraph wires and they were electrified. Imagine today with the electronics and the wiring we have across the nation and the cell towers, if we were even to have a hostile visit from the sun, if you allow me to put it that way, would cause all of our electronics to go out of service, if not be ultimately destroyed. We've dealt with what they would call a pandemic a couple of years ago with the COVID-19. Whether that was a pandemic or not, it was you define it as you wish, but it was a problem for us at many levels. Sherry mentioned to me a statement made by the leader of the World Economic Forum, how he was championing, or they were championing the 5G and the 6G, and it is on record that the undersecretary, I think maybe it's his title, of the World Economic Forum has, I'll just say, bragged in open speech that humans are hackable, that they can control human beings by different devices. Nanoparticles that used to be a thing of science fiction are now a reality. And also the instruments of the electronics, the sound wave, I'm sorry, the radio waves, the cell phone towers, 5G and 6G. I guess 6G is coming. I don't know if it's around yet or not. But they basically brag about these things. The vaccines versus natural immunity. I was going to stop and pause on that, but I think I'm going to move on. That's for another time. How about aliens? We're hearing so much about aliens. In fact, just this week, there was another House hearing on the alien spacecrafts. I'm going to call it that. They call them whatever they call them. That's not what I call them. So unidentified flying objects, that what they are, who knows. But, many are in the government, or at least at our levels and just above us, are trying to figure out and get some answers. The open border and the rise in crime, we see that now already taking place, that we have millions that have entered this country illegally. Many of them, we do not know who they are. We have not vetted them. Many of them have been identified on a terrorist watch list that they have caught at the border and hopefully have removed them, but I suspect they'll find another way in because it seems like a sieve at the Mexican border. And then we have a concern, as always, of the foreign nation attacks. Do you remember just a couple of months ago about the balloon that flew across our nation that had been somewhat identified? And then the story behind that is it may have happened other times, and apparently our radars weren't picking up at that altitude of these, whatever is going on with these balloons, we don't know. There's all kinds of possibility. And then, were that not enough, the possibility of foreign nation attacks. I want to put this, make sure it's on your radar screen, because it was notable in the news within the last week or so. It became very notable. On January 1st, our president of the United States is the commander-in-chief of all of our military, and the person directly under him is the Secretary of Defense. He's in charge of that little five-sided building in Washington, D.C. we call the Pentagon, where a few people work. That's his bailiwick. Reports to the president. He's to oversee the military. All of our military has his responsibility. He has an undersecretary that works for him as well. On January 1st, his name is, it doesn't matter what his name is, because this isn't even about politics. This is about the nature of the country. He was admitted to the intensive care to the Walter Reed Hospital there. I think it's in Virginia. I don't think it's in D.C. No call was made to the operations center or to key staff to alert them of his hospitalization. He's in charge of the Pentagon. The next day, neither of his staff or the White House were informed. The next day, his undersecretary, her name is Kathleen Hicks, she was notified. She was to perform his duties. She was on vacation on January 2nd in Puerto Rico. She was there the 2nd, she was there the 3rd, she was there the 4th. While he's still out of commission, on January 4th, the White House was finally notified that, hey, this guy's out of commission. The undersecretary is on vacation. I hope the communications are working because we can have a Zoom call, but if not, then we're at that level, we'd be running blind. I say that to say this. Things taking place in this nation are unprecedented. And as often seems to be the case, at the right moment, something that comes across my radar screen that really plays in beautifully to this, because again, I bring you back to the verse that Habakkuk says, I have heard the report about you, Lord, and I fear. He was afraid of some things. And again, we're going to talk about fear. We'll talk about fear because it's in the lesson. It's in the scripture. This is an interesting, this was in my mailbox last Sunday. It's from the Pew Research Center, Pew Charitable Trusts. I don't know if you've heard of them, P-E-W, like you're sitting in a pew. And I often get their, I get magazines. I guess they issue them once a quarter. And I did my own research from a source that I trust. And they're considered accurate. They're considered not left or not right. They're accurate, and I appreciate that. And the title, let me get to the point. The title on the magazine this month, or this quarter, it was in my mailbox, it's called The Age of Anxiety. Isn't it interesting that they titled that The Age of Anxiety? Now, that's their moniker. I'm not necessarily, I wouldn't call it that, but I recognize that we have this angst on many in America, that this uncertainty, what's going on, what's going to happen next. They in the articles that are in there, they talk about a lot of this is a result of the COVID lockdowns, and then ultimately resulting in anxiety and drug use, mental illnesses, and then they would make the argument that mental illness patients should not be in our prisons, but the reality is we have nowhere else to put them because they are a danger to society. In the old days, they had mental institutions, and they're getting away from that, so they're either out on the street or they're in prisons, but that's really not for the, I don't want to develop that any further, but they talked about that. And the anxiety I want to talk about, it's the fear of the unknown, what others might do or not do, or what I might not be able to do, where I might fail. I want to summarize this part of the message to all of us here today. I want to remind you, if you're dealing with any type of anxiety, any type of fear, I want to encourage you, once again, our God is in control. Our God is in control. Say our future is uncertain. Well, from our perspective, it is uncertain. But for His, it's not. From His, it's not uncertain whatsoever. Jesus said these words in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing. Say that with me, be anxious for nothing. And let me finish that verse, because he has a remedy for it. It's not paired together for no reason. It's paired together by the Holy Spirit for reason. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be known to God. God, I don't know what's next. God, I admit that I'm suffering and I'm struggling with anxiety, not knowing what's going to happen with the future of our country, not knowing what's going to happen with the future of my family, not knowing where the income is going to come from that I need, not knowing whether the foreign enemies are going to try to do something in this nation, not knowing all these things. He's saying, don't bottle it up inside. Let your request be made known to God. Amen? And here's what comes with that. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Amen? God, right now, I pray for that peace that passes all understanding, Father, to pervade this place, that every heart will be subtle to you and soft to you and ready to receive through the Holy Spirit what you have for us today. I pray, dear God, that we would in obedience lay all of our anxieties down and all of our fears down and recognize that you are the giver of peace, you are the giver of good gifts, you are the one who is in control not only of our individual destiny, but the destiny of this planet. And nothing escapes your notice, and a sparrow that's only worth a penny or two for a penny does not fall to the ground without your knowledge. You are worth much more than many sparrows, Jesus says. I pray, Father, for any those issues that we're struggling with that just keep us awake at night and just are on our mind daily right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for the power and the peace of the Holy Ghost just to pervade this house, Father, that those anxieties and those fears are broken off in Jesus' name. We can't do it, but you can. We trust you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. A video crossed my screen this week. For some reason, I get these random things, and just like that book. And it was this. And it was a video of somebody filming in a grocery store, a large grocery store, crowded grocery store in Brazil. Brazil is said the fifth largest country on the planet, fifth largest nation. But there's something going on in Brazil. We call it revival. God's doing an amazing work in that nation, so much so that it won't be long that they'll be sending missionaries here if they're not already doing that. But it was a beautiful setting, and as I watched this video, the people in the store, not all of them, but most of them, because you could see their mouths were moving and many of their eyes were watering and they were stopping. And some people just continued about their shopping, and that's fine. But they began to sing this song. It was in Spanish, which I don't know, but I know the song that they're singing. It goes like this. Sing it with me. Because he lives. Come on. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know, oh, he holds the future. Then life is worth the living just because he lives. And the grocery store is just breaking out in worship. That's revival. That's a sign of revival that's taking place in that community, that right. I don't even know what city it was from. May the name of Jesus Christ be on every tongue in this town. May the conviction of the Holy Spirit rest upon all of us to turn to him and put aside things in our lives that we were not meant to carry, including fear. Amen. Be starting into the passage of Ezekiel chapter 37, further on into the passage there, because we've already touched on the first couple of verses. We've already talked about what God was doing. In the first part was God moved his hand when Ezekiel said, the hand of the Lord was upon me. God began to do something in the spiritual sense. He began to give a vision and then he began to give direction to the prophet Ezekiel. But it started with his hand beginning to move on the prophet. When God's hand begins to move and the church collectively begins to get this unction, not just living the ordinary Christian life, and I'm not against that, because as we talked about last week, one writer well put it, is the reason Habakkuk is calling out to God for revival, because God is the only one that can send the revival. A man-made revival is a contradiction in terms. It's the breath of God. Amen. Perfect day for a jet stream to be dropping this low. God moves his hand, and the second part was when God, after God moves his hand, he sends his spirit. Ezekiel says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the spirit of the Lord. And then later on in the passage, God would tell Ezekiel, I'm going to send my spirit. The word there is the ruah in the Hebrew. It's the spirit. It's the wind. It's the breath of God. It's what the Lord God breathed into the nostrils of Adam when he had made him out of the dust of the earth, and he became a living soul. It's the spirit, the breath of God. The moment you were born, when you begin to breathe that air, it's the air that's given to us on loan during this lifetime from our God. Sends his spirit. If you were here for the message in this series about Acts 16, when Paul and Silas are in Philippi, and they come against the young servant girl, the young slave girl was going after them, basically outing them with her, notifying everybody in the area, these men are servants of the Most High God. They're preaching basically a new religion, which was prohibited by the law. When Paul turned around, he rebuked the spirit, and it came out of her that very moment. It was the spirit of Python. It's the spirit of Python. You know what a python is. When it wraps around you, it takes the breath of God. It takes the breath of man. I mean, it takes the breath out of us. And the spiritual is true. When the when the enemy comes to us with that python spirit, what he wants to do to you, believers, squeeze the life out of you and me. He's after our breath. He doesn't care if we look religious. He doesn't care if we even go to church. What he does care about is spirit-filled believers that actually live like they say they should be living, and they abide by the word of God, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they believe that God is who he says he is, even if it is beyond our comprehension. They believe it's a God who delivers. They believe he's a God who heals. They believe he's a God who makes the lame to walk and the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the raises the dead. It's the God that we believe in, and so often the churches have allowed their understanding of who God is to come down to their experience, and they redefine God in violation of the word of God. That wasn't in my notes, but I think we needed to hear that. May it never be us. And next, God empowers his word. As Pastor Sherry said at the prayer time there, God instructed the prophet to do something. He didn't instruct the prophet to bury the bones. He didn't instruct the prophet to call a funeral. He didn't instruct the prophet, hey, here's some glue. Put them back together. God knows what it takes for a dead person to come back to life. He said, begin to prophesy the word of the Lord. Begin to prophesy over these bones and say something. Say, dry bones, you can't stand, you can't talk, you can't walk, you can't do anything, but I believe you can hear. And he says, I'm speaking to you over you, you dry bones. He says, hear the word of the Lord. Some of you in here today, you needed to hear something that, and again, this isn't my message. I don't put this stuff together. You think that I do. And don't get me wrong, if there's an error, something wrong in it, that's all me. But I mean, if I'm not led by the Spirit to put some word out there today, I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. But he says, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Prophesy over these bones, and you tell them something. And I say that to say, I begin every week in this series, and every week that I'm here, that God has given me breath to be able to continue articulate words. I'm breathing the breath of life over all of you within the hearing of my voice. My words will do nothing for you, but the word of God is what will transform you and empower you. I just have the blessing and the fortune to be able to preach it. Amen? I will cause breath to enter you, and you're going to come back to life. Last week I said this, and sometimes you ever struggle in your Rolodex, in your mind, you can't come up with the word and the name you're looking for? Is that just me? And I do that sometimes. Yeah. It was Reinhard Bonnke, now gone to be the Lord. Reinhard Bonnke, an evangelist, did much of his evangelism on the continent of Africa. It's now Daniel Kalenda has taken his, it was his underling, has now taken his place. But he is the one that said, the Bible is the only weapon. You shoot a dead man with it, he comes back to life. It's the word of God. God works through his spirit. He works through his word. It's that combination that God, in fact, the Hebrews chapter, this is where I finished last week, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living. Say that with me. The word of God is living. And say this, and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Revival is empowered by the hand of the Lord. The church becomes empowered by the Spirit, becomes guided by his word. There's Sir Isaac Newton that came up with the laws of motion. We know one of them is, and maybe it's a summary of one or two, for every action, there's a reaction. You've heard of that. For every action, there's a reaction. It's an opposite reaction. The truth, the same is true in a spiritual sense, that these dry bones would remain dry. They'd remain standing there until something began to happen. And it's the same today in the churches today, that if they're dry, they'll continue to remain dry until something happens. There needs to be some type of agent that's going to act upon them to bring them back to life, and it's the Holy Spirit. In Ezekiel's writings, chapter 37, verses 5 and 6, thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath, I will cause the Spirit to enter you, you may come to life, and I will put sinews on you and make flesh grow back on you, and I will cover you with skin and put breath in you that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. It's fascinating to me. I preach this message here and other places on the planet. God's given me the grace and the opportunity to do that. And this has never really stricken me, but it did today. And then you will know I am the Lord. Let me summarize that. You'll know that I'm the Lord because currently you don't believe that I am. That's the word to Israel. And frankly, that's the word to the church in America in many cases today, that we've come to become some kind of a formalized, ritualistic society, some kind of entity, some kind of a good idea that we gather together just on Sundays and do whatever, forgetting about the power and the authority and the plan of Jesus Christ and the God in heaven that he has for our lives and for our planet. You're going to know that I am the Lord when you see this taking place. In fact, I could say, we could argue successfully, I think, this is one of the reasons that God is telling Ezekiel, here's what's going to take place, because these people don't believe. They're not believing that I, even though they've seen their forefathers delivered from Egypt, delivered from bondage through the miracles of God performed by Moses, even though they parted through the Red Sea on dry ground, even though they were delivered from the enemy in the wilderness, even though when they came into the promised land that they were able to defeat their enemies, even though they were outnumbered, outgunned, outflanked, the power of God won every battle for them, they still don't believe. And I hope that's not the case in many churches today, that they read the word of God. We serve a God of the miraculous. We serve a God that's on a completely different plane, a different dimension than we are. And he is in control of even the elements. He holds them together, the word says. You'll know that I'm the Lord because currently you don't believe that I am. So I love this. Pastor Sherry must have been reading my notes because she again touched on this. Verse 7. He got the command from the Lord, and guess what he did? Guess what he did? Verse 7, so I prophesy as I was commanded. Well, isn't that something? He was told to do something, and he did it. It's funny because the opposite is Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. He said, go down now to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it because their sin has risen up to the heavens to my attention. Go to Nineveh. Jonah gets up. He's supposed to go east. Gets on a ship. Starts heading west. I'm out of here. Ezekiel said, I prophesied as I was commanded. Part of revival, church, there's no list of excuses. No, Ezekiel didn't say there, so when he's given the word to prophesy, he didn't say, well, God, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem like these bones will be able to hear me. He doesn't say, you know, they're really dead, Lord. Maybe you need to rethink this. Lord forbid. He doesn't say, God doesn't work like that today. Lord, have mercy to the churches that say that. I mean that in love. I don't understand what God is doing, but I know his word is true. I know he's a God of miracles. He will perform what he says he will perform. Ezekiel doesn't say, you know, that's great, Lord. Let's do this. You know, I'm around all these people here in Babylon, and I'm a prisoner. You know, how about you have Jeremiah do that? I think they would take it better over there in Judah than it would be right here. It's going to be a little weird for me to say that there. He says, I prophesied as he commanded me. And I say that as a word to all of us in this house, myself included. I shared this with Tim and Chris, and Pastor Sherry knows. I went to visit my brother this week, Phil. All of us, I have two other brothers, three brothers. One is suffering with Alzheimer's. And as we sat in that room, there was the medical person, and then there was a social worker, and then my brother suffering from Alzheimer's, his name is Phil, and then the three of us. And as the woman spoke, I want to be careful here because I'm not unrealistic. I recognize at the end of the day the Lord's going to call us all home some way, however he chooses. But I also believe in miraculous healing and the power of God. And that's why some of you in just the past weeks have been touched by the Holy Spirit. God's doing a work in this house. If you don't know, then speak with Susan. Speak with Vi. because they both received healing in a recent week. Brother Dave prayed over Violet, was it a week ago? 2 weeks, over your vision. All of a sudden, she wakes up one morning. Guess what? She can see out of the eye that she's blind because our Jesus is the one who heals the blind eyes. And I spoke with Dave on the phone, and he would say the same thing, and I would say, certainly it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit deciding this is what he's going to do in your life. And that's right, and Sherry's mom, yeah, Pastor Sherry prayed for her back. She was suffering with back problems. Monday comes around. She's great. She's fine. God removed that pain from her. Do I have that right? Right? Yeah, yeah. I can't keep up. God's doing amazing work. Thank you, Jesus, because we cannot praise the Lord. folks, as much as we want to be obedient and want God to work, our role is to be obedient, and we recognize our limitations. One of them is we can heal nobody, but Jesus can heal everybody through our obedience. Amen? Everybody. And I believe he's going to do more and more and more through the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we're worthy? No, because we believe. Get this. Continuing on to verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was some translation says a noise. The word there is a voice. The word there is a thunder. I began to prophesy in my voice, and all of a sudden the voice of God decided to join in and begin to shake the ground, began to shake the planet, began to shake people loose, shake them awake. All of a sudden the voice of God is heard out like a thunder throughout the region. A loud noise came forth as I prophesied. It wasn't Ezekiel's voice. A thunder began. A voice came out. A shaking. In fact, it's in that verse. This was so beautiful. I prophesied there was a thunder, a noise, a voice, and behold, a rattling. The word there is a shaking. A shaking is taking place in America today, whether we recognize it or not. When your Secretary of Defense is on vacation and his underling is on vacation, and we have foreign enemies that want to take this nation over, he is shaking this planet and this nation, he is shaking this planet and hopefully shaking us awake. Unthinkable. I don't want to camp there, but it's unthinkable. I want to talk about a shaking. Because again, some would say the COVID epidemic or whatever it was a shaking. It was an inconvenience. And I don't demean anybody that lost their lives as a result, whether it was from the COVID or the COVID protocol that took their life. You decide. When they injected them with run death is near and put them on a ventilator. You decide. You do your own research. I recognize, I look at that in the rearview mirror as kind of a major inconvenience. So again, if you look at somewhere else, that's fine. I'll tell you what a shaking was from our history. And I wasn't alive at the time, 1929. It may surprise some of you. I wasn't alive then. 1929, the stock market crashed. That was a shaking in America because everybody's economy was turned upside down. Can you imagine tomorrow, whatever your checking book is or whatever your income is cut down to maybe 5% in one day? That's a shaking because it affects everybody. That's a shaking. 9/11 was a shaking because we recognized the horror of what took place and the vulnerability that we have as a nation, the greatest nation on the face of the earth. How could we be so vulnerable to leave our cockpit doors open? Planes in Israel didn't have their cockpit doors open. Do you know that? Back then, you can't get up in the cabin. You can only do that on airplane in the movie. You couldn't get in an Israeli one, but you can, you know, but we would have known better. We should have known better. Those are shakings. That's my point. And he says this here. The The bones came together. The bones came to, after the shaking, the rattling, the bones came together, bone to its bone. And what you see here, God is doing a reversal in the death process. Don't miss that. God is the author of life. He is the possessor of life. And he can take dead bones and turn them back into life. He can turn them around. It's just a spiritual vision, but it's a metaphor. But the reality is this, that God, through Jesus Christ the Lord, can transform any life on the planet. He can transform any marriage. He can transform any family. Those who seem like they were dead, they were too far gone, Jesus Christ our Lord can transform any life. And he can put it back together. And what you see is the rebuilding process here. He's starting to do some rebuilding here. In fact, Jesus was ministering one day, as he did every day, and John the Baptist had some disciples, and they came to Jesus. John the Baptist was in prison. He was facing death. He was put in there by Herod Antipas, because John the Baptist had confronted him, and I suspect he pointed his gnarly finger in Herod's face and said, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Herod didn't like that. Herod's girlfriend, which is his brother's wife, didn't like that. They put him in prison. John the Baptist knew what awaited him was beheading, and it actually did happen in time. So John the Baptist is a little concerned, and he gets his disciples and says, hey, I heard Jesus is wherever. Go down to Jesus and ask him. He said these words, Matthew 11. He says, ask him, are you the coming one, or are we to wait for somebody else? Now, this is the guy that would have been born and probably raised with Jesus, would have known, his mother would have known. Are you the right one, or should we look for somebody else? Jesus' response is this, and we're on the portion where God is now reversing the curse of death. He said, go tell John these things. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended or stumble over me. So easily we could be stumbled over Jesus. Jesus, what aren't you doing? This is what you aren't doing. This is what you should be doing. And we, in our arrogance, we begin to tell God what he should do. God save us and have mercy. The Lord begins to put bone to its bone in this vision. The curse of death is being reversed. And then verse 8, and I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and the skin covered them. There's no, right? We talked about that word last week in the Hebrew. It's the only Hebrew letter in their language where you don't have to move your mouth or your tongue. It's, and it's based on the fact that God brought life into existence on this planet with a, it's no effort for our God. There was no breath in them. It reminds me of the church at Sardis in the book of Revelation, the seven churches. The charge of Jesus Christ through the pen of Apostle John was this, that to the church at Sardis, the angel of the church at Sardis said this, you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up. You have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up. I'm going to cause breath. Verse 8. They had no breath in them. Verse 9. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, O son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they could come to life. It's interesting because I've often used the analogy. I've been to a number of Catholic funerals and also weddings, and what you'll see the priest do, it's fascinating because when he's acting in his prophetic role, he'll be speaking to the people the word of the Lord, and then often he'll get a censer of incense or things like that, and he'll begin. Do you ever see this? He turns his back to the people. And he begins to look this way, and I forget if he speaks or whatever he's doing, but what he's doing, he's turned into a priest. He's a priest. This is our role. We're part of the royal priesthood, by the way. And I'm not here to endorse or not endorse the Catholic Church. I'm trying to give you an analogy. You've probably seen it. But all of a sudden now, this prophet who's beginning to speak to the dead church, to the dead bones, all of a sudden he says, okay, now turn around. And what I want you to do is prophesy to me in the spiritual realm. And you prophesy to the east, to the west, to the north, and to the south. Turn around and begin to cry out to me and say, God, send the Spirit upon the church. Send the Spirit upon these dry bones. Bring them back to life. I said this a couple weeks ago, and I like the analogy. A church with spirit but no word of God becomes wayward, like the church at Corinth, by the way. Study the passage I was reading today, Corinthians chapter 11. That's a church that was spirit-filled, but they forgot about the word of the Lord. But a church with the word of God and no spirit is dead, just like Sardis. It's funny, I was studying the revival, the report of the revival in Brazil. They said even the Baptist churches are becoming spirit-filled. They call them Bapticostals. I'm not here to bash the Baptist church. They're lovely people, and I think they love me, and they wouldn't agree with me. I'm not here to agree or disagree. I'm simply saying that this revival in Brazil is far-reaching. It's not a matter of denominations. We talked about that early on in this series. This is a non-denominational effort. When God begins to move, he doesn't care about your denomination. He cares about our obedience. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Ezekiel changes from a prophet into a priest. And God is saying to cry out to me, to the Spirit, to the four winds, the full power of heavens. It would have been like on the day of Pentecost when the mighty rushing wind came down upon that upper room. It sounded like a freight train coming through that the people outside heard what was going on, this mighty rushing wind. I sat in my living room a couple of years ago now. I'll never forget it. It happens often where I live. We live at the base of a mountain near a valley. There's a cold creek stream that runs through there called, I won't say what it's called, but when the sun has hit it just right during the day and all of a sudden eclipses over the edge of the mountain, that cold air will begin to rush from the top of the mountain. And what it does, it came into my house like a mighty rushing wind. It was like, wow, I can't imagine what it was like on the day of Pentecost. Wow. It says, cry out to the full, that four winds represents the full power of heavenly mighty rushing wind. Cry out. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, the Lord says, cry out to me, and I will show you great and unsearchable truths that you did not know. Verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me. I prophesied originally when he prophesied. All of a sudden, the reconstruction of the power of God began to take place, but something was missing, and that's the question I pose to all of us today in the belief that I hold, that there is something missing. There's a church that looks, there's churches in America that look like a church, but they don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. They deny the power of the Holy Spirit, and when it begins to move, they're saying, you're working under the work of the devil. Let me tell you what, Jesus had something to say about people that would say that thing. He said, every sin will be forgiven except for anyone who blasphemes the Holy Spirit. When you blaspheme anything that's done in the name of Jesus and God does amazing work, it's the power of the Holy Spirit at work. I would caution people, never speak against anything, even if you don't understand it, if it was done in the name of Jesus and something miraculous take place. Verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they became to life, and they stood on their feet in exceedingly great army. In Jesus, what was dead is now alive. What was bones is now an army. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days, as Joel prophesied once again, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. I believe America is overdue for the work of a revival. And I want to just caution all of us. Don't hear me saying something that I'm not. Because we are still sons and daughters of the King. We are called to a life of obedience and faithfulness. That doesn't mean we sit back in our easy chair and say, God, do the work. No. But there's, again, I take you back to the Habakkuk passage. He's calling on God to do the revival because that's more than we can muster. We can make it look good. We can attract a million people in this church, bring them in from other churches. They say, you got a better product in your church. Well, yeah, and if the churches are dead, I'm glad they went to a church where they're alive. But what I'm saying is this, it's only a work of God in the manifestation of miracles, signs, and wonders that take place when a revival is taking place. That's a revival. God again speaks to Ezekiel. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones of the whole house of Israel, and behold, they say, and don't miss these words, they say something. They were saying something in captivity that I believe many Americans are saying today. Don't miss these words. They're so prophetic. They say, our bones are dried up. Our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. We're doomed. Our land is gone. Our future is gone. We're done. Our hope is gone. We have no hope. God doesn't speak like that because he's God. Therefore, verse 12, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and will cause you to come out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. If you're filling out your blanks, you probably thought I forgot them. I'm going to give them to you right now very quickly. Mankind. When God's hand moves, when God's spirit moves, when God's word is at work, I'm going to bring this together now. Man receives something from it. Number one, he comes to life. He says, I'm going to bring you back to life. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are come new. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it abundantly. I'm going to just encourage you in this. If you're in this house today and have never made that decision, it brings us life. It brings us hope. It brings us a future and a destiny. It brings a transformation. It's a supernatural transaction. It doesn't matter whether we understand it or not. The question is, will you believe it? Mankind comes to life. John 6, verse 60. And Jesus said these words, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Say that with me. The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. Jesus brings mankind back to life. Secondly, has hope restored. We have our hope restored in Jesus Christ. Many of us in this room have known Jesus for many years, myself included. And it's very easy for us. I'll take this to those of you that are married. How amazing it was on your wedding day that you were able to finally just unite in holy matrimony in the sight of God and the sight of these witnesses with your husband or with your wife, and how beautiful it is. And then time goes on and time passes, and we become very comfortable with that person we love. Not that we don't love them, but we just, the relationship changes, and we can kind of forget how special that person is in our life. I hear an amen. It's true. And that's the way it is with the Lord sometimes. We forget how amazing that he really is and how much he, and the day we were saved, how special and how life-changing it was. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, the Lord says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord God, the plans to prosper you and not to harm you, a plan for a hope. Say that with me. Plan for a hope and a future. Praise God. Our hope is restored, and finally, mankind becomes connected with the Almighty God. Mankind becomes connected with the Almighty God. Let me finish the readings. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will put my spirit in you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land, and then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord. And I close with these words. When the people say, our bones are dried up, God says, I'm going to give you living water. And the oil of the Holy Spirit, the anointing in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what I have for you. You feel like I'm dry. God says, I have some refreshing for you. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When they say our hope has perished, God says, I am giving you hope and a future. I'm going to give you hope in Jesus Christ. I will give you hope in a moment's notice when you receive him. They say we are completely cut off. God says, I'm connecting you to the body of Jesus Christ, my church. How beautiful. Amen. Worship team, please come forward. The closing song that we've chosen for today, and I believe the Lord has chosen, is a little more upbeat, which I love. We will have opportunity if you, as we start out the song, we'll start slowly, and then we will build into its original version, He is Faithful. If you don't like exciting music in the church, go to the prayer room and pray. I'm joking, you stay here. No, you've heard this song before. I believe God's doing an amazing work right now. He is faithful. That's the song we're going to sing. He is faithful. Paul says, even if we're faithless, he is faithful. Amen? Wow. If you've struggled with fear, with anxiety, and I want to be clear here because uncertainty causes all of us a little bit, I don't want to speak for you, I'll just speak for me. It caused me to get this little knot in my stomach. You know what I mean? Well, I used to have to go to give a speech in front of a bunch of people. I used to get this anxiety going on. There's a good illustration, right? But I want to let you know that if you are dealing with something beyond what you would expect, that it's you're just restless and it's on your occupying your mind and it's taking you away from the way of God and the Word of God, it's taking you away from the peace of God, I would encourage you to please come forward and someone will pray with you. Pastor Sherry, one of our elders, will pray with you. That's what this altar call is for. I want to break off any fear. The prophet Habakkuk said, I fear, Lord, because I know what's coming in not so many words. But the New Testament has told us not to be afraid, never to fear. And if there's a dark attachment of fear and anxiety on your life, my prayer is right now in Jesus Christ's precious name, I pray again, as I did at the outset of this message, that anxiety, that fear, that uncomfortable feeling that we live with is broken off in the name of Jesus. He is the only one that can deliver you from that. God, I thank you for this day. I praise you, Father. You are faithful. You are glorious. You are Jesus. All of our hope is in you. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for every man, woman, teenager, boy, and girl within the hearing of my voice. I pray a blessing upon them, upon their families, upon their sons and daughters who are not here today, but I believe will be here. I'm standing believing in that. I thank you, Father, for one of my 3 daughters has been out of the house a long time, has just come to us recently to say God's been speaking to her heart, beginning to draw her back. She's in her mid-30s and almost 40, but God's working in her life, and she's turning her life around. They admit they become disobedient in many ways, but God, I thank you for the work that you're doing. We're believing, God, for all of our sons and daughters, our children, our grandchildren, and the generations beyond us. Amazing work. He is faithful. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand with us. The altars are open if you need prayer. Get ready to sing. He is faithful. We stand together in unity, believing, knowing you're an amazing God. You're good, your kindness, your mercy endures forever. And God, we're believing you're going to move in such a mighty way upon the face of this nation. You're the only one who can redeem and restore our land. So as sons and daughters of the Most High God, we cry out to you, thanking you, God, believing, fully believing you're going to revive your church in this land. You're going to turn the sons and daughters back to you. God, we thank you, Father. You are faithful, and for that we give you praise. You are worthy of all of our praise. We thank you in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please remain standing. We have a couple of announcements for you.
All right. Jonathan's Con, Josiah Manifesto, is on for this Wednesday. So far, so good. No bad weather, no sickness yet to cancel. Wednesday, January 17th at 6:30, a time of prayer beforehand, and then into our video teaching. You want to know what God is up to? Come to this teaching. Really good. It's the last one. Oh, well. You better get there then. You don't have to have seen the previous ones to know what's going on. It's usually a new teaching every time and maybe a little bit of refresher, but it's new every time. Next one, the About Us class has been rescheduled to after Sunday service on February 4th. Amen. Food? There will be snacky food, lunch food. Lunch food provided afterwards. So if you didn't sign up and you want to come, there's still time, but we need to know so we know how much food we need to have.
Oh, we'll do that. Not these guys.
And it's not going to be weird because Alan and I are going. I know Tim and Chris are going, so it's not going to just be a bunch of new people or our old new people. New old people? The people that have been here before haven't been here in a while. They want to reattend the class.
Amen. I get it. That's absolutely right. Amen. Right on the money.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah. All right. We're going to play something on our way out. I'm giving them time to think before I pray and release you, by the way. We're right on time. Okay, you might hear something after I'm done besides the Holy Spirit speaking to you. God, I thank you for this amazing day. Father, I thank you for every person that's here in the presence of the Most High God. We've worshiped you today. We will worship you throughout the week. And when we gather together again, Father, we pray for once again for your power of the Holy Spirit to visit us, to transform us in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Oh, wait a minute. What? Oh. They can just sign it, right? Just sign it. They can write, they can, but just sign it. Yeah. Bless you guys.